And thank you, Meredith, that actually set up a lot of my presentation, so I appreciate you very much. So thank you again for coming this morning and sharing your morning with us. I have nothing to disclose except for the fact that I brought a cute baby. So if anything goes awry, you can pay attention to him. He's adorable. Okay, so actually Meredith did talk about this. You know, we've got almost 20% of our population has a special health care need, but they're not a heterogeneous group. Right, they have varying degrees of severity and how they're affected on a daily level. Almost 50% of them have a physical disability, but another 18% have a mental health disability. Another 3% has a developmental disability, and then 30% have a combination of those. The goal of Title V, as she described, is to create this comprehensive system of care, as I described here. It's also maternal and child health has been tracking these measures since 2001. It's a huge goal of theirs. We know that having a system of care, so that comprehensive system of care, means that you have fewer unmet needs. You have your family has less burden. They're doing less coordinating care all the time. You're going to school more, as well as going to the emergency room less. Unfortunately, not a lot of children with special health care needs get this comprehensive system of care, and it varies greatly by how you're looking at it, so which of the individual indicators you're looking at, as well as your functioning level. As you can see, if you have a severe limitation, you're much less likely to get the system of care versus having few limits. We don't know how your diagnosis or your actual disease state or number of disabilities affects your access to these systems of care variables. So that's what I want to do, or I did. I want to fill in that gap in the literature by examining the prevalence of receiving the system of care variables among the 7 different disability groups. I want to look at the differences in prevalence of those system of care variables within the disability groups, see how they are different. And then I wanted to control for individual, look at that relationship by controlling for individual characteristics, family characteristics, as well as severity of the disability. All right, so I'm using the 2009-2010 National Survey of Children with Special Health Care Needs. This is a cross-sectional study. It uses computer-assisted landline as well as cellular technology to do their interviewing. It randomly samples nationally representative households with a child that's under 18 in it. The parent or legal guardian that knows the most about the child is asked the questions. There's almost 35,000 people that have completed the survey. I'll use chi-squares and ANOVAs to really look at sort of those comparisons and correlations, and then I'm using a logistic regression to look at the relationship while controlling for individual, again, family and severity level characteristics. So these are the core outcomes that I'm looking at. Again, this is what Maternal and Child Health Bureau has said are sort of the important ones that we want to adhere to. We've got partner in decision making, which is 4 questions that talk about were you a part, like, did you discuss options? Did you feel like you could ask questions? Were you respected? Medical home is 5 actual outcome variables in and of itself, with tons of questions in between that talk about family centeredness, usual source of care, care coordination, referrals. Then we've got transition to adulthood, and those ask if you had a discussion with your provider about moving to an adult provider, taking on more responsibilities, making sure you have continuous insurance. And we've got community-based services, which asks about the difficulty or delaying getting care within the community, as well as how frustrated you are having to make those connections. Adequacy of service health insurance is just that. So is it paying for what you need it to pay for? Are you going to see the providers you need to see? Those are 4 questions. And then early and continuous screening is 2 questions, and it simply asks you if you had a well child visit or a preventative dental visit in the last 12 months. I think that these 6 measures actually are sort of come together and look at a construct of both quality for the first 3 and access for the last 3, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that throughout the rest of the presentation. So my disability groups are physical disability, which encounters asthma, diabetes, lots of different things, heart conditions, cystic fibrosis, and then we've got mental health disabilities, so that could be ADHD, anxiety, depression, and then our developmental disabilities, which is ASD, cerebral palsy, Down syndrome, and intellectual disabilities. And then these are the variables that I'm controlling for, again, individual characteristics, family characteristics, and then I looked at severity level. It's a combination of these two variables that asks how often is your disability affect your functioning, and then how much, how severe is that effect. All right, so demographics. Most of our the average age was 11. Most of our sample is male, white, non-Hispanic. I wanted to point out that severity is an issue, so this is what I'm calling severity of daily activity affected. So if you have all three of the disabilities, which is all the way to the left, about three quarters of you have like the most severe cases. So your activity is often affected severely compared to if you have just a physical disability, really appropriate, it could be very severe, but a lot of them don't often have daily affected ability, or their ability isn't daily affected or severely affected. Related to family demographics, so we see sort of the same thing, and the vast majority of the children come from two-parent households, their parents have some college or trade school education, they're well above the poverty line. They do have a variety of insurance, but only 3% were uninsured, so most of them are insured in some way. So then what is the system of care variables look like? I talked about this in the beginning. As you can see, it does fluctuate quite a bit depending on which system of care indicator you're looking at. Medical home transition is low, while decision making and early and continuous screening is quite high. And then I'm going to look at all of these sort of individually, very quickly, just looking at patterns for how each of the disability groups received each of these services and how they compare to the mean, which is the dotted line. So this is partners in decision making. As you can see, it's a clear dose or gradient effect on type of disability as well as number of disabilities related to if you are a partner in decision making. And we see the same effects related to medical home, similar gradient effects related to transition of care. Unfortunately, less than 50% of the sample is even getting transition of care, but it becomes much worse if you have a developmental disability or multiple disabilities. Ease of community-based services is a bit higher, but we're still seeing that same trend line. And then we get into these are, of course, those access variables now. When we're looking at health adequacy of health insurance, it's a little better, and it's a little more continuous between the groups, so you're not seeing as much of a disparity. And then early and continuous care is sort of perplexing me and something we can talk about, but it's a little all over the place, and we'll see similar results in the logistic regression as too. Not so predictable by disability group. So our logistic regression, again, the next couple of slides of the logistic regression outcomes, they are individual regressions that are ran on all six of the system of care variables by disability group while controlling for all of those other characteristics. Each table looks pretty similar. So as you can see, physical disability is the reference group when we adjusted for individual family and severity, of course. So mental disability is 17% less likely to be a partner in decision making than having a physical disability. If you have a developmental disability, you're 33% less likely to be a partner in decision making. Physical and mental, you were 23% less likely. Physical and developmental wasn't significant, but if you had a mental disability as well as a developmental disability, you were 51% less likely. And if you had all three, you were 44% less likely. So this sort of shows, and we'll see this through several slides, that having a developmental disability alone or in combination with another disability makes you much less likely to be a partner in decision-making. Okay, so then we have medical home, and as you can see, everything's significant. But some of the things, the developmental disabilities, again, are sort of raining clear. If you have all three, you were 61% less likely to have a medical home. If you had a developmental disability alone, you were 40% less likely. And then if you had a mental health disability as well as a developmental disability, you were 52% less likely to have a medical home compared to the physical health group. Healthcare transitions showed the same patterns. Again, developmental disabilities is a problem. If you just had a developmental disability alone, you were 66% less likely than if you had a physical health disability alone. And then this varies between 46%, 49% less likely, and 57% less likely, so quite high between all of the groups. And then we get into the access variables, and it's a little less clear, although we definitely see the trend here. Again, each group was significantly different than the physical health group. We do see some more severity for the youth with all three disabilities, and if you have a developmental disability, you're less likely to receive these services, but it's evening out just a bit. Adequacy of care, again, not quite following the trend that we saw in the first three variables, but this is surprising to me, but also reassuring, so that we know now that disability group doesn't affect your health insurance status, so that's, or in the adequacy of your health insurance, so that's, I think, reassuring, but certainly developmental disabilities were higher, or were less likely. And then early and continuous screening, again, this one was not surprising since we saw the correlations playing out this way, but disability did not seem to be a strong predictor in if you were getting early and continuous screening. In fact, for the people that had the physical and mental and the people that had all three, you were actually more likely to get continuous and early screening than if you had physical disability alone. All right. So what did we learn from the logistic regression? Well, I think that it's pretty clear that the presence of a developmental disability, whether with by itself or in combination with another disability, is a strong predictor of quality of care in those variables that we looked at. And further, the more disabilities you have, the less likely you are to receive these quality services. Access, you know, isn't so clear-cut. After controlling for all the confounding variables, in the community-based service variable, disability was still a high, strong predictor. But when we looked at adequate insurance, it was not. And then we're showing slight protective effects with the disability groups for early and continuous screening. My limitations, of course, this is a cross-sectional study, so we can't talk about causation. We're asking parents to think back for 12 months in some of these cases, so that might be some recall bias. And some of the questions, which we can talk into later if you'd like, I'm questioning what they're really asking, and is it getting at the construct that we hope it to get to? And then, so in conclusion, this is the first study that has examined these maternal child health bureau outcomes for all of these disability groups. Youth with developmental disabilities experience significant disparities in their receipt of quality healthcare services, such as being a partner in decision making, having access to healthcare transition services in the medical home. Four out of the six indicators for children with developmental disabilities, they were half as likely to get those indicators as somebody with a physical disability. And then number of disabilities was, of course, a strong predictor as well. Thank you so much.